This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we learn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which will benefit us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will be with him in Jannah. We talked about the importance of studying seerah. And now we'll start with the first session on seerah itself. Now usually the authors or the scholars who write about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they do not usually start talking about his birth. They would go a little bit before that, actually about a few thousand years before that. And they would talk about his father Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's usually where they would start talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would talk about his ancestry, starting by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The emphasis is on the Hajar and Ismail side of the story rather than the Ishaq and Sarah, because that is the lineage of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they would start by talking about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajar and Sarah, when they traveled to Hijaz. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his wife and his newborn son traveled into Arabia, into the land of Hijaz, and Ibrahim took them to present day Mecca. At the time there was nothing there. Nobody was living there, there was no cultivation, it was a dead valley. But the place where the house of Allah is built, the place where Al-Kaaba was built, was sacred since the world was created. In fact, there's a difference of opinion on who is the first one to build Al-Kaaba. The majority opinion is that it was Ibrahim alayhi salam, but there are some scholars who say that Adam was the first one to build it. Now, regardless of whether Ibrahim alayhi salam or Adam alayhi salam built it, the place itself, whether there was a building on it or not, was holy and sacred from day one. Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife and son arrived to the valley, and in the place where Zamzam is currently, obviously there wasn't Zamzam at the time, Ibrahim alayhi salam left his wife and son Ismail. He left with them some water and a leather bag of dates, and he walked away. He just turned away and left. Now Hajar alayhi salam knew that Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to leave them, but she didn't expect to be left in such a place, in the middle of the desert. So she followed him and she said, Ibrahim, are you going to leave us in a place where there's no cultivation and there's no one living? Ibrahim alayhi salam did not answer back. She asked him again, no response. She asked him a third time, he didn't answer back. And then Hajar alayhi salam said, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah tell you to do so? Ibrahim alayhi salam said yes. قالت فلن يضيعنا إذن. Then Allah will take care of us. If this is a command from Allah, then I have trust in Allah that He will take care of us. Look at the faith of this woman. In the middle of nowhere. But if this is the command of Allah, I have trust in Allah. Allah will take care of us. فَلَنْ يُضَيَّعَنَ اللَّهِ Allah will not waste us. Allah will not neglect us. Ibrahim a.s. left, and when he reached to a place where they cannot see him anymore, Ibrahim a.s. turned around and faced Al-Kaaba, or the place of Al-Kaaba. And he made dua to Allah. He said,
رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِندَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهُوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ
Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Oh Allah, I'm leaving my offspring in infertile land. A land where there's no cultivation. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ Next to your sacred house. So the place was known that it was sacred, even though Al-Kaaba wasn't built. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam made a dua. Now you know the Maslow hierarchy of needs. The pyramid. What is the foundation of the pyramid? The bottom. What is the first need, human need that needs to be satisfied? What does it start with? First thing is what? Physiological needs, right? That's the bottom of the pyramid. So that is the most important need for humans. That's the base of the pyramid. And then what's after that? What's the next step? Psychological. And then the third? Social. Physiological on the bottom. Social. Spiritual. And then the peak is self-actualization. So that's the pyramid. First of all, as a human being, you want to satisfy the physiological necessary needs, which are food and shelter. After that, you want to have friends, have a social life, have a belonging, an association. So those are the social needs. And then, you have the spiritual needs. So after you have achieved the physiological needs and the social needs, after that you start thinking about religion, according to Maslow. Finally, you have the self-actualization, which is on the top of the pyramid. But according to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the pyramid is inverted. The first thing that he asked for was not food and drink, or shelter. The first thing he asked for was, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ The first thing that he asked for, even though it would make sense that he would ask for, I mean, we would assume that Ibrahim alayhi salam, since he left them in a valley where there's no cultivation, the first thing he would ask for is to provide his family with food for their survival. But Ibrahim alayhi salam started in his dua by saying, رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ Oh Allah, so that they may establish prayer. So the first need that he asked for, or the first thing that he mentioned, was spiritual needs. Salah. إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَةِ Establishing the prayers. And then he said, وَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهُوِي إِلَيْهِمْ And then make or put their love in hearts of people. I mean, make people love them. So he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to draw people to his family and to make them love his family. So he's asking for the social needs. And then finally he said, وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ Then provide them with fruits. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is starting by asking for salah, spiritual needs, and then social needs, and then physiological needs. But even when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide them with thamarat, fruits, he also connected it to ibadah and said, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكِرُونَ, so that they may be grateful. So even when he was asking Allah to provide them with worldly things, he was still connecting it to religion. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكِرُونَ, give them fruits so that they will be grateful to you. And that is true self-actualization, when Allah becomes everything for you. When you're eating, when you're drinking, when you're sleeping, you're doing everything for Allah. That is the true tranquility. And that is the self-actualization that neither did Maslow or anybody else achieve, except the Anbiya of Allah and the Awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sufyan ibn Abdullah related, I said to the Messenger of God, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, tell me a statement on Islam such that I need not ask anyone save you. He told me, say, I believe in God, and be upright. Being upright is a spirit of submission to God. It entails being upright with one's relationship with God, their relationship with the creation of God, with one's parents, siblings, children, neighbors, and guests. In fact, it involves being upright with the whole of creation. Uprightness prevents one from oppression, hence, oppression of the self, as well as other human beings, animals, nature, and all other things is prohibited in Islam. Justice, therefore, is at the root of uprightness. If one is not just, then one cannot become upright until they become just. Most importantly, one is not a complete believer until they become upright.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back.
And then Ibrahim alayhi salam left. Hajar made use of the small amount of food that he left with them. But obviously after a short while, they ran out of food. And Hajar alayhi salam was breastfeeding Ismail, and her milk was drying up because he's thirsty and hungry. And now Ismail alayhi salam is beginning to cry. He's hungry. So Hajar alayhi salam couldn't afford seeing her son agonizing in pain. So she left him and she started climbing a hill. A hill which was called later As-Safa. She climbed on top of that hill to see if she can see anybody in the horizon. She would look left and right and would see no one. So she would climb down the hill. And when she would reach the valley, she would tuck up her clothes and run. And then she would climb another hill, which was later called Al-Marwa. And she would reach the top and look in the horizon if she can see anybody. And her son is twisting and turning in pain. And Hajar alayhi salam is running up and down these hills, and she did that 7 times. The 7th time, when she reached the top of the hill, she heard a sound. And she was staring around to see where that sound is coming from. And to her amazement, she saw that the sound was coming from beneath the feet of Ismail alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam descended and was digging the well of Zamzam. And the water was coming out from beneath his feet. Hajar alayhi salam was rushing in happiness to the source of the water. And because it's a dry desert and it would soak up all of the water, she was making a pool around the water to contain it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was narrating this story, he said, رحم الله أم إسماعيل لو تركتها لكانت زمزم عينا تجري. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah have mercy on the mother of Ismail. If she would have left the water alone, it would have been a flowing river. But because of her interference, it was a well. She was trying to contain the water and she didn't allow it to flow. If she would have left the miracle as it was going without interfering, it would have been a flowing stream. So Rasulullah ﷺ smiled and said, may Allah have mercy on her. Hajar alayhi salam, think for a moment, what were her feelings when she was running up and down those hills? Her heart must have been broken. She might have been crying because of the pain and suffering of seeing her son die in front of her eyes. Hajar was a believing woman. She was a righteous woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was hiding for her something in the future that she didn't know. So at the time, naturally as a mother, she must have been in extreme pain. Seeing her son crying, and she's in the middle of nowhere, running up and down these mountains. Now just imagine if Hajar was resurrected at the time of Hajj, and she would have a chance to see what Muslims from all over the world are doing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was mentioning the story of Hajar going up and down as Safa wal Marwa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and that is why we go between as Safa and Marwa. So we are following the footsteps of Hajar alayhi salam. We are going up and down as Safa wal Marwa to follow the footsteps of our mother Hajar alayhi salam. If Hajar knew that, if Hajar knew that the time will come when people will come from the four corners of the world to follow her footsteps in millions to do what she did, she would have went through As-Safa wal-Marwa with a big smile on her face. So dear brothers and sisters, as a Muslim, as a believer, when you are going through these trials, you might have a certain mindset, you might have a certain feeling, but you don't know what's waiting for you on the other side. You don't know what Allah is hiding for you in the future. This is the gift, this is the present that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Hajar in dunya. Just think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her in akhirah. So when we go through some difficult situations, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through trials and tribulations, let's always remember this. Let's remember that Hajar went through this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided her with something better. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was hiding something for her. Musa alayhi salam, when he was with his family, when he was lost in the desert, it was a cold, windy night. And Musa alayhi salam lost his way. He didn't know which direction was Egypt. And he saw a fire in the distance. So he told his wife, I will go to that fire so that I can bring you with light and guidance. He wants to bring light because it was a dark night and he wanted to have some warmth in the cold weather. And he wanted guidance. He expected, since there is a fire in the desert, there must be some people there. It's a bonfire and there's some people around it. So I'll go and ask them for directions. That's all what Musa wanted. He wanted some light for that dark night, and he wanted guidance to Egypt. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was hiding something better for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a story in Quran. When Musa alayhi salam went there, he met Allah, and Allah spoke to him. And rather than Musa going back with light for that dark night and guidance to Egypt, he came back with light for humanity, and he came back with guidance. Not to Egypt, but to Jannah. He went there and that was the announcement of his prophethood. It was done right then and there. Musa alayhi salam, lost in the desert, went to the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him,
إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي.
I am Allah, there is no God besides me. فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Worship me and establish prayer in my name. Musa alayhi salam wanted something, but he got something better. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would go through difficulties, but Allah reserved for them the top levels of Jannah.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ibn Umar, may God be pleased with them both, said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, O people, indeed you will die and you will go to God. May God have mercy on a servant who talked and earned goodness, or kept quiet and stayed safe. Indeed, the tongue controls the person more than anything else. Surely, all the human's talk is against him except the remembrance of God, or bidding good, or forbidding evil, or making peace between the believers is for him. Mu'adh, may God be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of God, will we be judged by what we say? He, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Is there anything which throws people into hell except the harvest of their tongues? He who wants to be safe, he should control what his tongue says, and guard his heart, and do good deeds, and limit his hopes. A few days later, the following verse was revealed. There is no good in much of their secret conferences save in who enjoins almsgiving, or kindness, or peacemaking among the people. Whoso does that, seeking the good pleasure of God, we shall bestow on him a vast reward.
Sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Welcome back.
So let's think about this when we ourselves go through moments of difficulty. Now, in the desert, whenever you have a source of water, it would immediately attract forms of life. So now birds were beginning to hover over the well, because nothing was living there. It was a death valley. There was a tribe called Jurhum who were nomads in that particular area. And where did Jurhum come from? Jurhum was a tribe that moved out of Yemen. Yemen was the birthplace of the Arab people and the Arabic language. And that is where the Arab tribes immigrated from. And there were many mass immigrations that happened, or waves of immigrations that happened from Yemen in different times. One of them when the dam was destroyed. And there's a whole chapter in the Quran called Saba, which was the name of that kingdom. Allah tells us a story that these were people who built the first dam in the world. And because of that dam, they had a year-round source of water. So even though you don't have a lot of rain in Arabia, the precipitation level is low, but because of this dam, they had a year-round source of water. And they had a massive network of irrigation that went for hundreds of miles. So suddenly you have this semi-arid area holding a huge population because of the existence of water. And there are some stories, there might be exaggeration, but it says that a woman would, or a person would travel from, or a woman would go out of her house and go for a walk with the basket on her head. And she would come back home and the basket is filled with fruits. And the fruits are just dropping from the trees. But it does say in Quran that because of their wealth and the cultivation that they had, they didn't feel any pain in traveling, because it was a continuous series of colonies. Wherever they would go, there would be villages and towns, and there was so much wealth, so they did not feel the suffering and the difficulty of traveling like the rest of the people of the world would. So these people, because of their arrogance and disbelief in Allah, they said, we want to feel pain of traveling like everybody else. So they asked Allah, oh Allah, make it difficult on us like everybody else. And Allah did make it difficult on them. And they rejected the message of Allah, so Allah destroyed the dam. The dam was destroyed and it flooded the area, and suddenly all of their agriculture collapsed. So you had a huge wave of immigration, which spread the Arab people out of Yemen into Najd and Hijaz and Iraq and Sham. So you had some tribes settling in Oman. Some of them settled in Najd, some of them settled in Hijaz. Al-Aws wal-Khazraj settled in Medina. And then you have a few of the Arab tribes went to Syria, and some of them went into Iraq. So that is how the Arab people spread out of their small locality in Yemen. I'm giving you this background history because Jurhum was one of these tribes. However, Jurhum might have immigrated from Yemen before the dam, Allah alam. But anyway, they are one of the tribes that ended up moving out of Yemen, and they went into Hijaz. They were familiar with the area around Mecca, and they knew that there was no water in that area. So when they saw birds hovering in the sky, they wondered what was going on in that particular area. So they sent one or two people to go and investigate the matter. So these two men went, and they came back and reported to their clan and told them that there is a well in that area. So now Jurhum, they go to the place where Zamzam is located, and they ask Hajar a strange question, and they get a stranger answer. They told Hajar, "Can we settle in this place?" Now the reason why this question is strange is because this is a tribe of warriors, and here they are getting permission from a lonely woman with her child. I mean, if they want, they could have just pushed her away. But they were very kind to ask her permission to stay there, even though it was an empty place. There was nobody living there to start with. And her answer was more amazing because she started to bargain and negotiate with them. I mean, here you have a woman who's alone with no power and no strength, no weapons, no army to help her. And she's negotiating and bargaining with them and telling them, "Well, if you want to say, I have a condition, and that is the water belongs to us. You can stay here, but the water is mine. The well belongs to me." They agreed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَأَلْفَاهَا تُحِبَّ الْأُنْسِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, deep in her heart, she wanted them to stay from the beginning because she wanted to have some company. But she was just negotiating with them to get a better deal. And she did. And they ended up settling in that area, which later became known as Mecca.
Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.